If I had a nickel for every person who's told me recently, I saw a bunch of geese the other day, or words to that effect. Heck, if I had a nickel for every goose I've seen overhead of late, well, I still wouldn't be able to buy much, even though it has been a lot of geese. This is still rural Alaska, after all. The point made, whether by me or by others, is that there are a lot of geese in the air right now, and the reason for that is Alaska is quickly losing its appeal for them, as it is for large numbers of birds, migratory birds, that call Alaska their summer home. Retired folks who head for southern states in the winter are called snowbirds for a reason, not snow bunnies or snow deer. Yes, we lose a whole lot of our avian species in the winter, and it's happening right now. The geese just happen to be one of the more visible and loud reminders of that. Other species seem to skip right out without so much as a peep. Welcome to Bristol Bay Field Notes. I'm Terry Fuller, Education Specialist for Togiak National Wildlife Refuge. According to the State of Alaska Department of Fish and Game website, our state has had something like 471 different species of birds identified to date. And while there are places that can boast of more, the diversity of those species, featuring the inclusion of a number of unusual species, makes us special, in my humble opinion. Want to see a blue throat, whiskered auklet, or a bristle-thighed curlew? Yeah, you can do that here, if you play your cards right and know where to look. Also, according to the website, some 200 species of birds travel to Alaska just for the short summer breeding season. Such is the quality of hospitality, well, habitat anyway, that we can provide to our feathered friends. Closer to home, such as around the northern shores of Bristol Bay, there have been a bit more than 200 species that have been documented, though what that number actually is probably is something of a mystery. I say that because it can and does change. It would take a lifetime of work to compile such a list with anything approaching absolute accuracy, and it's likely there's stuff out there that we don't ever see. For what it's worth, we have two very fine pamphlets in our office about Togiak Refuge. One is our general information pamphlet, filled with general information and a nice map. The other is our mostly comprehensive wildlife list. The general pamphlet claims we have 201 species of birds. The wildlife list says 216. My guess is it's actually somewhere above the latter of those two numbers. So, why do birds migrate? That's a question that gets tossed out every year during the Alaska Migratory Bird Calendar Contest presentations that I make on behalf of the calendar contest of the same name. For the younger students, the answer is always something along the lines of, it's too cold. While that would seem to make some sense on the surface, and may have some partial truth for some species, the bigger reason is simply food, or lack thereof. If they can't get it, they'll go someplace else to find it. One example I've used quite a bit through the years is the osprey. I've done that because they're pretty easy to recognize, and we have a lot of them around the area in the summer, along our lakes and rivers, which is where a lot of folks spend a lot of their free time in the summer. Ospreys feed on something like 98% fish that they catch by diving into the water. And they are good at what they do. Very good. How good? Studies have shown them to be successful, on average, one out of every three or four dives, at most. During some studies, they were seen to be successful as high as 70% of the time. And the average time they spend before making a catch is just 12 minutes. A fish-filled lifestyle such as that just doesn't play well across southwest Alaska in the winter. And so the ospreys leave. In fact, ospreys can log more than 160,000 migration miles over the course of a 20-year lifetime. We know this because of ospreys that have been fitted with radio tracking devices. During 13 days in 2008, one osprey flew 2,700 miles from Massachusetts to French Guiana along the northeast coast of South America. While that may sound impressive, some record even longer journeys. The previously mentioned bristle-thighed curlew traipses back and forth between Alaska and the Marshall Islands in the South Pacific, a flight of 6,000 miles. They make that flight nonstop, by the way. Another fairly common shorebird species, whimbrels, fly 5,000 miles from Central America nonstop to Alaska. And peregrine falcons, I saw my first ever at Cape Pierce this summer, They winter at the tip of South America and spend their summers with us, such as the one that I saw. That's a journey of 8,500 miles. The bird that's largely regarded as something of the undisputed king of serious migration is yet another shorebird, the bar-tailed godwit. So what allows them to be held in such high regard? How about this? 70,000 godwits travel from their breeding grounds here in Alaska down to New Zealand each September, and then turn around and head back our way each March. But it's not just the distance that's impressive, it's how they do it. Radio tracking devices revealed that many godwits make the fall portion of that trip nonstop. One bird in particular flew 7,200 miles nonstop from here to there, at elevations of 2 miles and more, and while traveling an average of 35 miles per hour. To give that some perspective, that's the equivalent of a human running 43 miles per hour, every hour, for more than 7 days. Considering that fact, it seems to me that godwits would make a great mascot for area cross-country teams. And then there are the more common species around our area to consider. For example, robins may not have to travel very far to meet with their needs, in terms of food and compared to those species that make marathon flights. A robin's winter diet is mainly fruit. In the summer, that's more of an insect earthworm-centered diet. Robins can and do live all year around warmer coastal areas and throughout the southern U.S., as well as northern Mexico. For us around Bristol Bay, they are a migratory species, and one of those that we tend to think of as a harbinger of spring. It's a fact that because much of the decision to stay or to go is based on food availability, that while some are long-distance travelers, some can decide to migrate or simply stay put, and some don't have to migrate all that far. One example of that is a species that got a lot of notoriety this spring, the emperor goose, for which we had a hunting season for the first time in 30 years. Emperors, which summer across western Alaska, usually go no further than the Alaskan Peninsula or Kodiak Island to spend their winters. Again, food is the big reason for migrations, with other factors included in that. Alaska in the summer brings together a host of conditions that are uber favorable for birds for both breeding and raising young, with food being a big part of that. Because of our long daylight hours and mild temperatures, plants and insects simply explode in variety and abundance. The long days mean the birds can be practically active around the clock. And while the focus today has been on the fact that we're losing species almost as fast as we're losing daylight right now, it's worth remembering that there are those few hardy species that stick with us, birds that are able to find what they need for food when things start getting chilly. Some of the more common ones that might come to mind include ravens, redpolls, grosbeaks, camp robbers, gray jays, various owl species, eagles, chickadees, both black-capped and boreal, grouse, ptarmigan, and magpies. And there's often a few oddball species or misplaced birds that stay too long or come back too early. As I have done on here a time or two before, I'd urge you to consider putting out feeders and bird food for the winter species to help them out and also maybe to provide a nice diversion for yourself on colder days as you sit inside your toasty home with a cup of hot coffee or tea. Birds can be a lot of fun and wonderfully therapeutic to watch, in my humble opinion. It's a relatively low-cost hobby that can take as much or as little time as you want it to. For the time, just remember we're losing the vast majority of our bird species, whether quietly, as though a thief in the night, or out with the utter cacophony, such as we hear with geese. In closing today, and considering the topic, let's end with some lines from The Birds. No, not the Alfred Hitchcock one, but rather the poem by 19th century French poet and songwriter Pierre-Jean de Béranger. Happy who for a season may absent themselves on buoyant wing. The birds that winter drives away will surely come again with spring. They of our ills will mindful be, and when at length the storm has passed, they will return to this same tree which has so often felt the blast. Then to our fertile vale will they a more auspicious presage bring. The birds that winter drives away will surely come again with spring. For Field Notes, I'm Terry Fuller. Music from Loon Echo Lake provided courtesy of Solitudes at www.solitudes.com.